Good morning. So I'm going to start with a disclaimer because that's what I tend to do anytime I talk. So some of the things that I'm going to talk about, I wrote stuff out and I haven't really wanted to talk about because I haven't wanted to solidify them. And so I'm going to ask that you not solidify them with me, but to just kind of hold them provisionally and, as a friend of mine tends to say, listen generously. So as I was preparing for this talk, there were things that started coming up for me. And I'm like, really? Okay. Write that one down. And then, you know, another thing would show up. It's like, okay, write that down. And so it kind of felt like all these ingredients coming together to make a stew. And so we'll see what the stew tastes like. I'm not sure. So I wanted to start out with, I don't know if they're called chapters of the Diamond Sutra or sections. But a little piece from the Diamond Sutra, it's chapter 4. So it says, just a piece of the chapter, I think, says, "Moreover, Subhuti, when bodhisattvas give a gift, they should not be attached to a thing. When they give a gift, they should not be attached to anything at all. They should not be attached to a sight when they give a gift, nor should they be attached to a sound, a smell, a taste, a touch, or a dharma when they give a gift. Thus, Subhuti, fearless bodhisattvas should give a gift without being attached to the perception of an object. And why, Subhuti? The body of merit of those bodhisattvas who give a gift without being attached is not easy to measure." So, one of my early memories when I was growing up was riding in a car with my parents, and I guess I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, and I guess they had given me a candy bar, and I had, you know, quickly opened it and, you know, offered it basically to them to share it with them. And I remember my father saying, you know, "You're making a just quick comment about me being really good at sharing." And that was kind of the first time I remember actually hearing a compliment from him. And so for me, this really solidified the importance of sharing any resources that I have with others. I grew up in a small town called Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, in western Pennsylvania, about an hour north of Pittsburgh. And it's a college town, and both of my parents worked at the university. And my mom was a secretary, and my father worked in the Parks and Recreation Department. And he was also the tennis coach for the men's and women's tennis teams. And so when I was about maybe 11 or 12 years old, I guess, my parents decided to, they weren't really sure about this whole divorce thing, but they decided to get separated. And I would go, my father moved across town to a little apartment, and after school, my middle school was across the street from the university, so I would walk across the street to where my father was having his tennis practice with the college students. Then I would spend basically every day sitting and watching the kids practice and just being around them. And then for the tennis matches, I kind of became the equipment manager. I would go and I would take out all of the stools there were 6 tennis courts, and I would take out all 12 stools for each player to sit at, the little score placards. I would go with my father to get the big Gatorade things of water for all the students. And so I would I ended up becoming friends with a lot of those tennis players, and with a lot of the people that would come to the tennis matches. I kind of became the mascot, I guess. I saw myself kind of being the host of everybody who was there. I would go, and there were a lot of regular people that, like a lot of regulars that would come and watch the tennis matches, some of my father's friends and that kind of thing, some of the friends of the college students that were playing. And so I would go and I would greet each one and I would talk to them and find out kind of what was going on with them, and share, you know, what was happening in my school day-to-day life. And, you know, I just kind of jumped in and did what needed to be done, basically because I didn't know how else to be. I didn't know any other way. But I really, truly felt a connection with those people during that time in my life. Years later, one of the things that my father said to me was that he had really been going through a difficult time during that year when they were going through this separation. And he didn't think that he would have made it through without all of the work that I had done. So my father passed away about 12 years ago. My parents ended up getting back together after pretty much that year. But about 12 years ago, he passed away from brain cancer. And one of the things that happened was when he was in the hospital after one of his many brain surgeries was we were exhausted. My mother and I had been driving an hour each way to go visit him in the hospital and stay all day, and then we would drive home an hour. And I decided one day that I was going to let my mom go home and I was going to stay and take care of my father that evening, stay in the hospital with him. And, you know, he made a comment that his mouth was not tasting great, or his, you know, it was feeling dry and that sort of thing. And so, I held out my hands to him and said, you know, he had dentures, so I asked him to take out his dentures and put them in my hands. And I went and I brushed them and washed them, brought mouthwash over for him to clean his mouth, and then rinsed his mouth out with water, and then gave him his dentures back for him to put them back in. And to me, that wasn't really that big of a deal. Again, it was just something that needed to happen. And he was totally blown away by that experience. And basically just kind of made a comment that he had never really felt that loved in his life. Which, you know, really caught me off guard, too. So... I've been thinking a lot about those particular times in my life in conjunction with giving a gift and not being attached to a thing. And the question that's been coming up for me is, was I attached to the feelings that I was getting as a result of giving that service? And I don't know. You know, I don't know if there was, you know, I did get something in return. So I don't know if there was an attachment there or not. I'm going to bring in a koan. It goes, once Laman Pong was selling bamboo baskets. Coming down off a bridge, he stumbled and fell. When his daughter, Ling Zhao, saw this, she ran to her father and threw herself down next to him. "What are you doing?" cried the layman. "I saw you fall, so I'm helping," cried Ling Zhao. "Luckily, no one was looking," remarked the layman. And so that, to me, is kind of some of the stories that I've been sharing with my father. But service has always... I've kind of designed my life around service. Service has always been very central to my life. In fact, my relationship with my husband has very deep roots in service, by my own choosing. And to me, there's an intimacy that comes with personal service. In fact, I have this dream of being a butler. So it just, you know, it's something that I love. It's at the heart of me. And so water has kind of been, how are we on time? Water has been kind of showing up for me a lot lately as well. And I recently went to a conference, and the theme of the weekend was water. And every year there's a different element that they choose as their theme. So this year was water. And one of the first things that I noticed when I joined the Sangha was this feeling that all of these different pieces in my life were separate. You know, there was my relationship with my husband, there was my work life, there was my relationship with my friends, and my kind of local community. And these were all sort of separate things. And I was really worried that my Zen experience was going to be yet another one of these things. And, you know, what I've come to see is, to me, this practice has sort of become the water that flows through all of them. It connects them all, and it fills in the cracks and shows up in places that I don't necessarily expect it. So I'm going to move to the very beginning of the Diamond Sutra. And it says, thus I have heard, once the Bhagavan was dwelling near Shravasti at Anathapindada Garden in Jeddah Forest, together with a full assembly of 1,250 bhikshus, a great many fearless bodhisattvas. One day before noon, the Bhagavan put on his patched robe and picked up his bowl and entered the capital of Shravasti for offerings. After begging for food in the city and eating his meal of rice, he returned from his daily round in the afternoon, put his robe and bowl away, and washed his feet. He sat down on the appointed seat. After crossing his legs and adjusting his body, he turned his awareness to what was before him. So in the Diamond Sutra group, we've been talking about, and Sarah sent out an email that said what basically the subject was, what if it's all about simplicity? And so there's a simplicity in putting on the robe, picking up a bowl, begging, and eating a meal that I don't have a choice in. And to me, that is what service is, not having to decide all of the things, all of the how do I do everything. It's, I just do what the person would want. And so there's a simplicity in that for me. And it comes with surrender. And it's the same kind of surrender that I find myself surrendering to in my practice. And there's a part in the sixth portion of the Diamond Sutra, and I'm not going to read it, but Red Pine kind of has this one part that is, don't get addicted to the medicine. And so I've been seeing myself being this begging bowl, and having the begging bowl being an offering to somebody else. And I get to receive whatever they put in that bowl. And it's been interesting to see a shift in myself as asking for something, because that tends to make me really uncomfortable. Being one who loves to give and provide for somebody else, receiving something, it's like, oh shit. So I've been playing with that a lot. And I think that is connected with not getting addicted to the medicine of service. So I mentioned this conference that I went to, and a few years ago, there was a keynote speech by a woman, and basically one of the things that she said, and sort of the focus of her speech, was in her culture growing up, instead of saying hello, they would say, "I see you." And the response was, "I am here." And I was like, wow, I love that. So I've been carrying that around with me for the last several years. And to me, that's related to the begging bowl as well. So a few weeks ago, I went back to this conference. I go every year. And I went to a class, and the class was on archetypes. And after the class was going to be a ritual. This is the part that I don't necessarily want to solidify. And so the class was on archetypes and talking a lot about people who are masters and servants, and how those archetypes show up in their lives. And this was an hour and a half class. I'm not really going to go into it. But afterwards, the ritual was the person that was leading it had asked that nobody leave in the middle of the ritual. So if you're going to be there for the whole thing. Like, okay, so I'm going to be there. And so I, you know, they're setting up for the ritual, and I realize, okay, this looks like there's going to be feet washing. And I immediately am resisting it because of the Christian overtones, and notice myself, like, wanting to get out of there. But couldn't, because respect for the person that had asked that nobody leave. So it's like, well, my other option is to jump in. So so I did. And basically what they asked was that the people who identified sort of as more powerful, or the people that are often receiving service, would be the ones that were washing the feet. And those of us who tended to you know, lean towards providing service, have their feet washed. So, crap. So I eventually, well, you know, almost immediately just found myself in tears before I even approached the foot washing area. So I was watching other people have their feet washed, and I was just crying. And so I eventually was getting near what I felt was going to be the end. So I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of get in line. And I, there was somebody who stepped out in front of me, and she sat in the one empty chair, and I ended up sitting in front of this woman. And she washed my feet with just so much love that I had never really experienced that kind of healing. And I think now I understand what my father felt when I brushed his teeth. Thank you.
Good stuff.